Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. I would have you turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to break from our series this morning on the suffering servant, the song of the suffering servant, Isaiah 53. And we're going to focus our attention on a very special occasion for our church and for the life of one of our members. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to focus our attention on verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Upon recommendation of the senior pastor and the deacon council, the church has agreed to set aside and to license Chris Cook to the gospel ministry. Now, what does that mean? You've seen in our church the ordination of deacons to active deacon ministry. We've also ordained men into the gospel ministry, but it's not a usual occurrence when we license someone into the gospel ministry. What does that mean? I want to refer you to the half sheet that's in your bulletin that's entitled Licensed or Licensing to Ministry. It should be a goldenrod colored sheet of paper, kind of a dark yellow, light orange colored paper. Licensing to Ministry. Follow along as I read with you, please. The licensing to ministry is issued by the church on recommendation of the pastor and deacon council. It is given in recognition of a man's admission to the ordination process. It is not ordination, but it is given in recognition to the ordination process. Its aim is to prepare a man to perform the responsibilities and duties of church leadership, particularly as they refer to pastoral ministry. Now, when the church certifies a man for licensing to ministry, it authorizes him to function alongside the pastor in training for ministry that is pastoral. This does not mean he will become a pastor, but it does mean he will serve as a recognized minister of the church in preparation for ordination to vocational ministry. Some of the duties and responsibilities given to a licensed minister include pulpit ministry, teaching ministry, officiating at baptisms, weddings, and funerals, and legally representing the pastoral staff. There are other duties that are involved, but those are some of the top duties that are involved in licensing to ministry. These duties and responsibilities are to be engaged only under the authority of the pastor and the church, and are not to be exercised without the expressed consent of the pastor and the church. Licensing to ministry does not require the same procedure as ordination. Believe me, there are some of us who would just salivate at the mouth if we could get Chris up here and just ask him all kinds of questions. But not today. There is no requirement for a licensing board or council. The only requirement is that the pastor approves the candidate, recommends him to the deacon council for consideration, and subject to their approval, to the church for confirmation. Now, what does this mean? It means that Chris Cook will be recognized as a minister in training. A minister in training. This training will better educate, equip, and encourage him in the ministry that he is currently committed to. It will supplement and expand and enhance the work that he's already involved in educating and training our teenagers in the Christian faith and in church leadership. And we know full well that our teenagers are subject to the onslaught of Satan through peer pressure, through gang involvement, drug, alcohol, sex experimentation, through humanistic and atheistic education in high school and in college, and so on and so forth. We understand that many teenagers who graduate from high school and leave home for jobs or for higher education also leave the church, and many of them never return. It is our intention as a church to prepare our youth to face the challenges of a society that is growing more and more hostile to the Christian faith. And to do this, we have to have leadership in our youth department. Leaders who are committed to the faith and who will teach our teenagers to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, to be clothed, fully clothed in the armor of the Lord, and to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to make that stand. We must have leadership that will train our youth to trust in the Lord with all of their heart and to acknowledge Him in every aspect of their lives, in all that they think, all that they say, all that they do, and in every relationship that they have. And we believe that we have such a leader in Chris Cook. But in order to help us stem the tide in a world that continues to take over our young people, we encourage him, and this morning we will encourage him to heed the counsel of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 12 through 16. I want you to notice what Paul wrote. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now at the time Paul wrote this letter, Timothy was in his early to mid-30s. He had been nurtured in the Christian faith by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois as a young boy. He was converted as a teenager under the ministry of Paul. And then he partnered with Paul and with Barnabas to go out on missionary journeys that they had taken to share the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the entire region of Asia Minor. And Timothy assisted the apostles as they shared the gospel with Jew and Gentile. He assisted in training these converts to become disciplined in the faith, organizing them into churches, and then discipling certain individuals to become leaders in those churches. So even though he was converted as a teenager, he had gained upwards of 15 to nearly 20 years of personal experience in ministry under the tutorship of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Now at the time that Paul wrote this letter, Timothy was serving as pastor of the Christian church in Ephesus. This was his first pastorate. So he was rather green behind the ears, wet behind the ears and green at the gills, I guess is the old saying goes, when it came to actually taking a pastoral role in a congregation of Christians. And as a pastor, and as a young pastor, in his first pastorate, Timothy encountered many obstacles and he suffered many trials to the point that he was ready to quit. And I know what that's like because I was at that point at one time as a young man in my first church. It got to the point where trying to minister with a group of hard hearts and closed minds was almost unbearable. And I was at the brink. As a matter of fact, I told the church that I was resigning as their pastor, and I told my wife that I was quitting the ministry. So I know what young Timothy was going through. But Paul wrote this letter to encourage Timothy to stay the course and to fulfill his calling as a minister. And his counsel to Timothy is wise counsel for Chris and for any individual who commits to ministering to others, whether it is vocational ministry as a pastor or missionary or evangelist or deacon ministry, or if it's a leader of a small group ministry, or if it's a teacher in a Sunday school class. Whenever an individual aspires to become a leader among Christians, these words to Timothy become wise counsel to those who desire to be leaders. First of all, I would have you note, the Apostle Paul says that he should not allow people to disregard Timothy's ministry because Timothy was a young man. And I would say to Chris this morning, don't permit people to disregard your ministry because you're a young man or because you're ministering to young people. How so? Well, the apostle tells us, conduct yourself in a manner that becomes a minister of the gospel in all things. Conduct yourself as a minister, and in such a way that people will respect you as such, though you are young and you are working with young people. And I would also encourage you to be aware of two grave dangers, two fatal dangers. The first is this: beware of the levity and the indiscretion to which youth are exposed, that your ministry will not be regarded with contempt. Now, when I say beware of the levity and of the indiscretion to which youth are exposed, what I'm saying is be their leader. Don't be one of them. You cannot afford to be their buddy, their pal, their friend, their gopher, their taxi cab driver. You can't afford to cross the line between Christian leadership and being a buddy and a friend to those you're trying to lead. Second, beware of the superficial spirituality and the inappropriate conduct that will dishonor your ministry and disqualify you as a minister. And I would remind you, Chris, and all of you, that young men have been honored by God with great gifts that have proven useful to church ministry and to community ministry. Men such as Samuel and David and Solomon and Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All of these individuals were young, teenagers, many of them, when they were called and equipped by God and began their ministry in God's kingdom as young men. I would advise you, Chris, and others, to be known for the powerful exercising of your spiritual gifts, not for your age and not for the age of those that you minister to. Second, one of the constant duties of a minister of the gospel is to be an example of spiritual maturity. To be an example of spiritual maturity. A minister should so live that if his people closely follow his example, their salvation will be secure and they would make the highest possible attainments in spiritual growth and development. I wish we would all understand this, and all pastors and ministers would understand this, that we're not involved in a vocation. We're not involved in a job. We're not here to collect a paycheck. We're here to help people know the Lord and grow in the Lord. And we must do whatever it is we need to do, can do, and are able to do in order to achieve that goal. Paul lists six critical areas in the text, and I want to point you to the text, wherein you are to be an example to others. First of all, verse 12, he says in word, that is, in your usual and familiar conversation, especially with youth and adults inside the church and outside the church. Just because you're a Christian leader and you happen to be in the youth department gives you no right, gives you no license to be gross, corrupt, crass in your language. Ministers are to rise above the level of what is acceptable in our society. If we lower ourselves to that level that is prevalent in society, then we dishonor the name of the Lord, we do a grave injustice to the ministry of His kingdom, and we will not lead the people that are under our charge to be like Christ. Second, in conduct, again in verse 12. Listen, you cannot be, and I use this illustration with Chris and Hannah in mind, you cannot be a Ronald Reagan to our youth if you act like a Keystone Cop when you're among the youth. Now, I use Ronald Reagan because they're great fans of Ronald Reagan, and he was a great leader. And that's the point I'm trying to make. You can never lead individuals into spiritual growth and maturity if you act like a fool. Don't expect anyone to respect you or to honor what you're trying to do if you're not fulfilling the role of a spiritual leader. Lead by teaching the Word of God and by faithfully modeling its truths, no matter how difficult that may be. Third, again in verse 12, be an example in love for both the believer and the non-believer. It's often easier to love those in the faith and to ignore the rest, isn't it? Well, at least David got it right. It is. We all know this. If we're not willing to verbalize it, we're certainly willing to express it in our conduct. It's easier for us to love those in the faith and to ignore the rest. But if you are to win them to Christ, you must love them in Christ. And that's not easy to do. But it is required of the minister, as it is required of all disciples in Christ, to love one another, to love your enemies, to love those who persecute you, to love those who revile you, to love those who do all manner of evil against you. Fourth, again in verse 12, be an example in spirit. Not speaking of the Holy Spirit here, but in your own personal spirit, which means to maintain control over your passions and to express a gentle and a forgiving disposition, which is particularly hard in a Baptist church. To be loving, to be gentle, and to be forgiving. Not an easy thing to do. Five, again in verse 12, be an example in faith, which means that at all times and in every situation, in every trial and temptation, maintain spiritual integrity. Maintain spiritual integrity and thereby show others by your example how they ought to maintain an unshaken faith in the Lord God as you maintain an unshaken faith in the Lord God. Chris and Hannah have already gone through trials, trials that some of us have never experienced before. And I praise God, I thank the Lord for the kind of spiritual tenacity, the kind of faith that they have, that they will continue on when, you know, loss of an infant, when little George was taken from us, how they maintain their faith in God. I know people whom they've lost, a loved one, have railed against God and have cried out against God and have turned away from God. But their example has been a model to all of us that in all things, in life as well as in death, that we hold fast to our faith in the Lord. Number six, also found in verse 12, be an example in purity. There should be nothing in your contact with those under your leadership, male or female, that would give rise to scandal. The world has had enough of our moral failures as church leaders. So much so that we've damned an entire generation because of our indiscretion and because of our lack of taking our calling seriously. Never let it be said that you are one of those leaders. Now, how do you maintain such a high level of spiritual integrity, the Apostle Paul tells us. Beginning in verse 13, he lists four disciplines. And these disciplines are important for all of us, leader or follower. First of all, give attention to the study of God's Word. Give attention to the study of God's Word. It is a lamp unto your feet. It is a light unto your path. And by hiding its truth in your heart, it will keep you from sinning against God and against others. Regrettably, some of us have learned that lesson the hard way. Second, found also in verse 13, give attention to the teaching and to the preaching of God's Word. We have no other text, no other manual, no other book that we honor as the foundation of all faith and practice aside from the Bible. I would command you to study it, to learn it, to master it, and to teach others to do so. Third, in verse 13, give attention to doctrine. Now listen, all of us. You would expect the man behind the pulpit to know what he believes. Amen? You would expect the one who stands behind the sacred desk to know what he believes with regard to faith and practice. You would expect him to know why he believes what he believes. And you would expect him to base all of his beliefs squarely on Scripture. Amen? But every one of us should have that same expectation about ourselves. Every single one of us, leader or follower, should know what we believe, why we believe it, and make sure that what we believe is grounded in Scripture. There is so much false theology, vain philosophy, all kinds of pop psychology and sociology and theory and this and that and the other going on, not only in our world but in our churches and certainly behind the pulpit, that we're raising up a generation of spiritual pygmies, superficial Christians, individuals who don't know what they believe. They don't even know what the Bible says. And when they're confronted with certain doctrinal issues, they scramble to try to understand if it's really biblical or not, if it's something they should attach themselves to or not, something if they should embrace or not. There was a time when we were called a people of the book, amen? But nowadays, when you say you're a people of the book, other people will ask, what book are you talking about? Know what you believe, know why you believe it, and make sure that your belief is grounded in Scripture. I would encourage you to formulate your theology from a disciplined study of the Word of God rather than formulate your theology and then look into the Word of God for support. Formulate your theology from a disciplined study of the Word of God, and it will support you throughout your entire ministry. Number four, found in verse 14, do not neglect the gift within you. Do not neglect the gift within you. Know your spiritual gifts. And when someone comes to you and says, well, Pastor Chris, will you do this or can you do that? You can honestly say, yes, I can do that because this is what the Lord has called me to do. Or you can honestly say, no, I cannot do that because that is not what the Lord has called me to do. Know your spiritual gifts. And then faithfully exercise those gifts as you minister inside and outside the church. Now listen, you can engage in a number of vocations in life. I have. I've done all kinds of things in the secular world, in businesses and so on and so forth. You can engage in a number of vocations in life, but it is only when you honor God by exercising His spiritual gifts that you will know God's joy and know God's peace. In verse 15, notice what the apostle says. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Meditate on them. Think about them. Chew on it. Study it. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. Always. These things that Paul has instructed you. And then he says, give yourself entirely to them. Be in the Word of God and in the doctrines of the faith. Be in the ministry of Christ. Be in the spiritual gifts of God like a fish in water. Not only is the fish in water, but the water is in the fish. Be so absorbed by all that God has called you and equipped you to do that you will not only practice them, but they will also grow you, develop you, mature you. These things will be in you as you are in them. Basically, what Paul is saying here is let them be your passion. Your first and foremost passion. Not your job, not your vocation, but your life. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. And Timothy was encouraged by these words, and he continued on in the ministry. He continued to do the work that he was called and equipped to do in Ephesus. And he grew a strong church. He grew a faithful church. He grew a very productive church. We need leaders who are individuals not concerned about doing a job, but individuals who are concerned about ministering and raising up disciples in Christ. Now, it's with great joy that I call upon Christopher James Cook to come and to receive his licensing to the gospel ministry issued by the First Southern Baptist Church in Winton. Bless you, brother. Never mind. Do you want to say a word or two?
Thank you, everyone who have supported me in my ministry, and I just hope that through God, we will raise up young leaders, and we will continue to minister to them as they minister to us as well.
Amen. God bless you. Stand with me, if you will. I want us to bow and pray the prayer of confirmation and dedication of Chris to this ministry, and then I'm going to ask Caroline if she will come and pronounce benediction upon our service. Father, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for all that he has already done in the lives of our young people and how he has committed himself to lead our teenagers to know the Word of God, to experience the Word of God, and to express the Word of God, not only in service here in the church, but also in the community. Thank you that he is instilling within them a boldness for the faith. And thank you, Father, that he understands the seriousness of the calling and the burden, Lord God, of raising up young disciples who will become the next generation of leaders in the church and in the kingdom. I pray your richest blessings upon him, upon Hannah, that, Lord, you will continue to not only speak to them, but lead them into the greater levels, the higher levels of Christian service and Christian ministry in our church and in our community. Father, they have already been a blessing to us as a church, and they've already been a blessing to you and to your kingdom's work. I pray that in the days, the weeks, and the years ahead, that blessing will become greater and greater as we travel down this road of ministry together. This I ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, We invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.